Conference record has joined the conference.
All right, Vince, you still on the line?
I am.
Hey, awesome. I'm just going to give an introduction for this, and we'll get started. This is Dylan Yilbert of Grateful Web, here with guitarist and vocalist Vince Herman. His musical personality has become an unmistakable trait of longtime polyethnic Cajun slanggrass band, Leftover Salmon. Salmon just turned 25 years old and is celebrating with an exciting live release, 25, and a brand new beer collaboration with Breckenridge Brewery. Leftover's busier than ever, and we're here to get the lowdown. Thanks for joining me, Vince.
You betcha. Festival.
Yeah, festival. Man, 25 years of Leftover Salmon. Yet when I listen back on classic recordings of the 90s, the core blend of styles and unique instrumentation was there early on. How do you feel the music has evolved all these years?
Well, you know, we started off, you know, maybe a little more eclectic. You know, we've had a lot of accordion players over the years, and that accordion stuff kind of led to some Tex-Mex and Zydeco and, you know, some Conjunto and all kind of different kind of things. Now that we're kind of, you know, pretty much a hopped-up rock and roll bluegrass band, we probably don't get as out there into the ethnic styles that we used to do. But, you know, things should be changing over 25 years, and I guess they have, you know.
Certainly, life has changed and music has changed, and it's wild to think about also the variety of musical settings Leftover plays in, you know, anywhere from Nashville establishments, Telluride Bluegrass Town Park, and of course, rowdy late night hoedowns at music festivals. How does setting and situation affect how the band plays?
Well, you know, we always try to mirror where we are, you know, whether you know, choice of tunes and styles, you know, how aggressive we play or how nice we play, or, you know, to making up lyrics about the place and the there and now. You know, we always think that music is kind of like coming together for church, you know, and you got to relate to the present every time you play, because that makes it makes it real time and about there and then and be here now rather than be on your phone, which is important these days, you know. Never used to be phones at gigs. You know, we never used to have phones on the bus. You had to put a quarter into a payphone to call home and stuff, you know. Things are different, man. And these days there are so many distractions to take you away from the music. It's even more important to stress the here and now aspect of it.
And people that aren't even there in person can be there via social media or any means. And that's definitely a factor, kind of like what you were saying. So there's so many influences in your playing in particular, even song to song in a Leftover Salmon set. Who are some of your musical heroes growing up as you were developing your style?
Well, definitely Hot Rise. Newgrass Revival, those are probably the two biggest ones, you know, John Hartford, you know, but, you know, growing up, you know, my earliest stuff I listened to as a kid was Motown, and, you know, Stax Volt, Motown, and then, you know, the British Invasion, you know, bands like Traffic, The Doors, Led Zeppelin, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then as I had my bluegrass enlightenment, I became more and more obsessed with acoustic music and kind of roots American styles, and the rock and roll stuff kind of fell by the wayside, except for the Grateful Dead. Somehow they
yeah.
Maintained on my radar. But you know, as I grew up, I got more and more into the bluegrass and old time music scene. Lived in West Virginia for a while, and got deep into it there. And that stuff, you know, still really is what I listen to at home. You know?
And it's testament to the music and it, with Drew Emmett and all the other fellas in the band, there's so many different influences going on that create Leftover Salmon. And I wanna dig a little bit into the history of the band. One of the co-founding members, Mark Vaughn, was such a presence in the band, and passed away very sad, untimely, in March of 2002. And it was hard to imagine Leftover without Mark at the time. The band played scattered reunions in the mid-2000s, but nothing like the heavy touring of today. What brought Leftover back to life as the full touring juggernaut it is right now?
Andy Thorne on the banjo, man. No question about it. Drew and I developed with Mark Vann in the band, we kind of felt like it was the three of us with the rhythm section, you know? And when we lost that little part of our tripod, you know, that driving part of it kind of was missing. And when we discovered Andy and had a great time hanging with him and developed that simpatico, it was all back on. And I really do have to put a lot of the reason why we came back to it on Andy Thorne.
And I remember rotating and Noam Pikeli and various other players throughout the 2000s. But really now you can feel the tight unit of contemporary Leftover, and I'm sure it's really exciting for you guys. And speaking of musical developments, one of the most exciting musical developments in Leftover, of course, the inclusion of legendary non-official member Bill Payne. Was totally shocked to Telluride when you guys brought him out those years ago. How did you discover Bill? How did Bill discover Leftover?
Well, we first played with Little Feet, I think, in 93 or 94. And run into him at shows and, you know, do shows together at the festivals and all that. And eventually leading to Bill producing a record for us. As Little Feet took a little hiatus and Bill was available, we thought, well, this is great. Maybe we should just invite Bill out for whatever he can do. And he did a few, and it was so fun, and he kind of became a member of the band. Now he's going off to play with the Doobie Brothers, and we're back to the five piece again.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing about Leftover, is about how adaptable it is. And you also have this young drummer, Alan Robinson, who has gelled really well with the other seasoned players. What do you think he brings to Leftover, and how did the band change since he came around?
Well, man, with Alan bringing that energy to it and just totally locking in with Greg Garrison on bass, man. It's such a great rhythm section, man. It's so rock solid and easy to play off of. We just feel incredibly lucky to have such a great rhythm section. Alan is just masterfully creative and a great guy to hang with, and really works at his craft. And has a brilliant career ahead of him, that's for sure. And he's 26 years old. Man.
Yeah, it's unreal. I mean, just that energy he brings. And, yeah, like you mentioned, alongside Greg Garrison, who's a seasoned jazz presence in Denver. And it's definitely the tightest I've ever witnessed. Yeah, like lots going on in your, aside from heavy touring schedule and exciting gigs, you got this upcoming release, 25, your new live album coming out. Where's the music from? Is it a compilation?
Yeah, it's live stuff over the past couple years. Most of it with Bill Payne on it. And it was just kind of a document of where we are at year 25 of the band. It's some older material, some newer material. It's all around the sources of the tunes are from all over the place, it's just kind of a snapshot of where we are in our 25th year, and we feel like the band sounded better than ever, and I wanted to get that documented, kind of the live sound, and move on to our next studio record after doing that. But we're really psyched with this compilation.
Excellent. Are you in the works of recording this studio album you just mentioned?
Not yet. We're tossing things around, developing some material, but definitely looking to make another record soon. But the live one is something we're definitely excited about.
Absolutely, the focus on this live album, and Aquatic Hitchhiker has such strong material on it as well. So be interested to just keep seeing more and more from the band. So this new celebratory live album, it's combined with Leftovers collaboration with Breckenridge Brewery. They're releasing to celebrate this release, this 25 years as a band, the Silver Salmon India Pale Lager. Can you talk about this upcoming partnership? Did you have any say in the brewing process? What's this all about?
Yeah, we collaborated with Breckenridge on the brew and what we kind of like to drink, and I can't wait to taste it. Actually, should be ready pretty soon. But yeah, they've been great. We're both 25 years old, and we really our evolution has kind of gone on together. And they're great people, and the brewing community is a lot like the music community, and that everybody kind of helps each other out, and really enjoys each other's company, and we find that we really enjoy their company, and thought it would be fun to do a collaboration together, and putting the album out on a beer package. Seemed to be a way to get our music to people who otherwise might not be looking for it. And it's these days it's really kind of hard to figure out how to get your music out there. There's so much and so many ways to get it out, and it becomes more and more difficult all the time to make sense out of a recording budget when people aren't really buying that much music anymore. So it's, working with Breckenridge is just one of the creative ways we could use to get the product out there and have new people hear.
Yeah, awesome. I love that. They're both Colorado institutions, Leftover Salmon and Breckenridge Brewery, old school. Did they approach you about this idea, or was this something that the band had in the works? Who conceptualized that?
We worked with them on some of our street concerts in Denver. We did a Mother's Day thing, and then a thing next to Cervantes there. These street parties, and we worked with them on for the beer for those things, and had a great time hanging out. We're scheming on what more we could do together, and came up with this.
Yeah, it's a great way to commemorate 25 years. So you spoke briefly about the shifting nature of the music business, and certainly a lot has changed in the 25 years that Leftovers played, as far as, like, is there even a record industry, or how are people getting the music, and how do you feasibly make a living as a touring musician? And, of course, there's the music, but then there's the making a living aspect of it. And do you feel like this has affected maybe like Leftovers heavy touring, or how has it affected where you put your time as a band, as a business?
Well, we've never made a lot of money off of recording, but it seemed to be easier to break even on them years ago. but we've always, you know, kind of made our living out playing live. But, you know, what's weird is that, you know, as intellectual property, you know, from books to movies to music comes along, you know, it's really going to become an issue of, it's a huge expenditure to make, you know, an album that, or a movie, or, you know, to spend your time writing a book over the years, and our culture has to deal with that question, or people are going to stop being able to do it. And I don't quite know how that's going to evolve, but luckily we can still go out and play live shows, and people are interested in doing that. Hopefully music maintains a big place in our culture, and it's not you know, because there's not a lot of places to gather. You got sports, and you got church, and then you got music, you know? And hopefully the music part of that, could continue to provide a chance for people to interact with each other, form community, and have fun together. Because, man, that's essential to the human experience. And, so though recording is becoming questionable, live music just still seems to be going strong, and let's hope that stays that way.
Certainly. I think in some ways it's surging more than ever. If you think about the festival concept, you know, festival has taken on so many multifarious entities with the production and the gypsy nature of, you know, who else is participating besides the musicians. And I see that evolving and growing. So perhaps a glimmer of hope in that sense. And speaking of which, Leftover really has kept on it as far as, you know, new concepts for gigs. These Estes Park Stanley Hotel shows are extremely popular with your fans, and I'm sad to have missed the other one. I saw the pics and heard the music, and it just looks sublime. And now you have March coming up. It's sold out again. How is the collective experience of the Stanley Hotel? I'm sure you're looking forward to hitting those gigs again.
Absolutely, man. The Stanley is an amazing time. It's an amazing hotel, and to have everybody staying there, and again, it's that community thing that given that kind of setting, can really evolve deeply and be highly interactive through the weekend. And it's real different not to be outdoors and at a festival and camping in a tent. You know, it's downright civilized. And there's so much about Stanley and the book, The Shining, man. So many interpretations of the movie and what it's about. It's really fun to hang out and have discussions around the bar about what that movie is about. And, it's a fascinating time.
No doubt. Yeah. It's an interesting intersection, and, I love the photo of you and the band and the whole crowd with like the emulating the Jack Nicholson in the bar. That was something else. I really, really think it's a cool concept you guys got going there. So there was another really exciting event, intersection I witnessed recently at the Terrapin Crossroads in San Rafael, California. And you've gigged there a few times, but, this last time, owner and operator Phil Lesh, came out and rambled with y'all. Can you talk about that experience, rambling with the legendary Grateful Dead bassist?
Well, you know, it's really a fascinating thing to be able to play with Phil. He's just totally unique in his approach to playing it, and to ride that rhythm is, man, you know, I saw my first Dead show in 1977. Stanley Theater in Pittsburgh, and you know, to be able to experience that real time about how he moves music is just a thrill. And very unique thing. It was a great joy.
I can imagine. It's a very, really intimate space to share with, sounds like one of your musical heroes from back when. I know The Dead has affected so much of the way that people experience concerts on a lot of different levels, how that works out today. Anyways, Vince, I really appreciate your time. I feel like we covered a lot of territory, and yeah, I just wanted to let you know that your music opened me up to so much over the years, and discovering, you know, all the influences that you emulate through your music, it's just been a joy. And also, you know, back when you were part of the Nederland community, and there's always that aspect that makes you and your band extremely unique. You're very accessible. So keep on doing what you're doing, and the fans will keep supporting it, including myself and my friends.
Well, thank you. You know, just to mention, I'm going to be the night before Thanksgiving, I'm going to be up at the stage stop in Rollinsville doing the benefit for my buddy Miles, who is a senior in high school last year and had an auto accident, left him paralyzed. So we're doing a benefit for Miles the night before Thanksgiving, and then doing Friday and Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend at the Boulder Theater with Leftover, celebrating that good Boulder community. So come check it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, we will definitely highlight those events as part of the interview transcription, and also playing in Portland on New Year's. So many exciting gigs. Too much territory to cover in one interview paired with the 25 and Breckenridge release. And thank you for sharing that. I know that there's a lot of other exciting music with you involved coming out besides Leftover, and just really looking forward to seeing it unfold. So, you know, I'll be in touch and let you and Emily know when we got this interview up. But, you know, in the meanwhile, be well, and thank you so much for your time. I had a great time chatting with you, Vince.
Thank you. Appreciate it, bud.
Of course, man. Cross paths with you soon. Take care.
Take care. Bye.